Praise God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that your word will come forth, Father. And we ask and we thank you for revelation, for things that we need to know. I thank you, Father, you have words today, exact words that you're going to plop in people's hearts, Father, that they've asked about, and they're going to get answers today. And the truth, the word sets them free in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. By the way, you can yell amen. It's just, you know, amen. You can, you know, just look at you and say, my roots are Pentecostal. If you've read the book of Acts, your roots are Pentecostal, okay? Some days I'm like, whoa, are they mad? Are they sad? Okay. So I'm going to start by telling you a story. My story will set the stage for where we're going, okay? I'm not going to get lost because I'm going to tell you my story and then I'm going to make a right turn, but it's going someplace. So let me tell you my story. Joy is what's inside of me, but Joy is my third child. Joy Elizabeth. She's a doozy some days. Big sister's laughing. Joy Elizabeth, Joy, better known as Joy. She is a miracle. You know, she's a miracle. You can ask me all about that. But Joy decided in ninth grade that she was going to join the marching band. And the reason why she wanted to join the marching band, she had been in the band playing the clarinet. And she decided, I'm going to join the marching band color guard so I don't have to practice. That was Joy's motivation. Plus, there's this real cute girl, Sarah, who lived about seven houses down, who was in color guard. And Sarah and Joy ride the bus, and Sarah talked her into this. She says, oh, color guard marching band is so much fun. So Joy signed up for the color guard, the marching band, right? She didn't want to practice her clarinet. Okay, but the thing is, Joy didn't realize all that she signed up for. And let me tell you, I was clueless. Because I had never had a kid in the marching band, Spring Grove marching band. I knew nothing, 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 nothing. At that point, I hadn't even gone to a football game. Okay? So Joy signed up, and she was kind of clueless. She actually was clueless about two things. The first thing was the amount of practice, a.k.a. training, that goes into it. Okay. And I was really clueless. And let me tell you about marching band, at least for where we are in Spring Grove. They start with a mini camp. Mini camp number one starts in June, and it's for 1 week in June. It's a mini camp, and it's Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Friday, I can't remember, 6 to 9. Okay, that's the first one. Then July rolls around, and they have mini camp number two, and that's one whole week in July. Hope you're not on vacation because you get in trouble. Really, you can't go. So mini camp number two, again, a whole week, so evening, 6 to 9, mini camp number two. Then they have mini camp number three, and it's usually like the first week in August, mini camp number three, a whole week of evening, 6 to 9. And then band camp the next week. Now, again, I was clueless. Joy was really clueless. But when I heard band camp, I'm like, oh, they're going to go away like you guys go to camp. And they're going to stay in some dormitories and get out and practice every day. You know where band camp is? On the parking lot. The parking lot at the middle school. I was like, band camp? It was like torture camp, okay? So band camp. Band camp starts, I think it's like the second week. I don't know because my kids haven't been in that. And it's Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. all day. And I think they get a break and they come home for dinner. And then they have to be, this is how long ago, then they have to be back there at 5 to go 5 to like 9 o'clock. Band camp. For a whole week. Now, so you know, we had to adjust our whole life for this. And I'm a parent that we eat dinner together. We eat dinner together. So at 4:15, my family ate dinner together. And then I threw this kid in the car. And, oh, carpooling. Praise, thank you, Jesus. I love carpooling. Okay. See, I've been through three mini camps, so I got to know the parents in the area. So then we were helping this carpooling thing, okay? So that's band camp. Okay, so then, and then you go to school starts because Friday night lights. Yeah, this is what band's all about, right? Okay, so then we have that, and then you only have practice Tuesday, Thursday all evening, and then, Friday night lights, Friday, okay, and then I don't know what they do now, but they used to have band competitions on Saturday. Okay, so you get the picture. Joy did not know what she signed up for, okay? That was the first thing, all the time it took. The second thing that Joy did not know what she signed up for is she then had no social life. Except for bandies. Vanessa, bandies are nice people, okay? Vanessa played band. Okay, but that's it. That's it. That is it. That is it. Because it's just all consuming. So when I think back and I realize about this whole marching band stuff here, I realize that if you want to compete in anything in the natural, it will cost you a lot of time. Joy didn't know that. I know that. I know that now. Okay, it'll cost you a lot of time. Time that you practice, time that you train. Okay, it also is going to, now I'm going to take a left turn, and it also happens in our life with the Lord. So if you were not able to be here with us last week, we started a brand new series called The Gold, or the gold medal, whatever you're taking notes for, the gold medal, okay? And I thought since we had just finished up the Olympics in August, the 2000 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, and they were incredible. They were incredible, and I watched them just all the time. So I was watching these athletes on their sporting events, and it was just amazing to watch and hear about all the training that they had done, some of them more than half of their life, because they're like 15 and they're competing for the gold, and some of them have started at age 2 in training. All right, so incredible, and they go, and then they do all this training, and they win golds. These 14 years, well, most of them were 15, 16, 17. These kids win the gold medal in these events. Just wild, just wild. So I thought about all the work that they do just for a natural medal, and I thought what we can do is compare their race to our race. Because we are in a race, and you all know our scripture. We'll get to it in a minute. So we're going to compare their race to our race. We're going to look at our spiritual training and their spiritual training. We're going to look at how we run our race, and they run their race or their event so they can get a gold. So we run a race so we can win too. All right, so that's where we're going. That's what this is all about. This year in the women's gymnastic was this cute little girl, Simone Biles. Did anybody watch her? Floor exercise? Okay. Okay, I can do that. Okay, that's about it. Simone Biles won three golds. She won the gold for the floor exercise, vaulting, and the all-around team. Three gold medals. This girl is 4'8". So she may be little, but man, I'm telling you, she's a powerhouse, all right? She does, she said in an interview that she practices 40 hours a week or more. She trains 40 hours a week or more to be in the Olympics here. And she's been doing it, let's see, you know what she signed up for? She signed up because of the Olympics. She was homeschooled just about her whole life. Then she graduated. She's 19 years old, by the way. She graduated high school, homeschooling high school, and got accepted into a university and put that on hold so she could train nonstop for these Olympics. Okay? It's pretty amazing, all right? And then she goes and wins. Actually, she was the first woman to win 3 consecutive gold medals for the all-around. First American to win 3 gold medals in the 3 years. Okay, she's just like on the tops. Okay, now let me tell you about her floor exercise. She does this double layout with a twist. That means her whole body is straight, not a somersault, you know, where they do a tuck. Her whole body is straight, and she flips around twice. And in the middle of that, she does like a half twist. And then she does, okay? Now, because, and actually physics-wise, the physics of this, because she's 4'8", she does it. She can nail it. Now, you take some 6'4" person, yeah, I think their head's going to be skimming the ground here, okay? But she has practiced that routine for the last couple years over and over and over and over so that she could compete in the trials. And then she practiced that routine over and over and over so that on that day she won the gold. Google later, don't you dare pick up those phones now, okay? Google later Simone Biles and watch her routine. It's just incredible. Okay, now, again, she gave up a lot. She gave up a lot of her time, just practice, practice, practice. She gave up a social life. She actually gave up going to college for a season. Okay, she gave up a lot just so that she can train to go to the Olympics, okay? Now, thank God, God doesn't expect us to train 40 hours a week to be spiritual. Because you have to have a job, all right, to make an income. He doesn't do that to us, all right? But when you start looking at our Christian walk and the race that God's called all of you to, he's called all of us to a race, I have to stop and think, whoa, here's Simone Biles that just gave up to do this. Lord, am I giving you my all in the race that I have? Am I giving you all in the race that I'm called to? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. No guilt, all right? So that's okay. So let me ask you a question. How many of you would love to have peace just flooding your life all day long? Peace, 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 peace. Yes, foot up too, all right? How about peace when your life is going crazy, when the kids are going crazy, when everybody at work? Okay, I would like to have that kind of peace. How many of you would like to have this strength throughout your day? Sure we would. Okay, how about this? How many of you would like the hand of God, the blessing of God in your life every single day? So that when, do you remember Mr. Magoo? All you old, young people at heart, okay, don't look at the ching ting. Mr. Magoo was like blind or half blind, and he would just walk through things. And he just almost get his head chopped off, and he'd just walk around, blessed. He'd just escape all sorts of things. He'd have doors open from him, you know. Well, listen, that's the blessing of God's in our life, okay? That's what God wants for everybody. All, especially his children, all of his children, that's what he wants in our life, all right? And we can have that. And I want to talk about how you have that in your life, how you have that peace, how you have that strength, how you have that blessing in your life. So you all tuned in? Because I need it. All right. Here's the big thing, just so you can write down notes here, the big idea that I just want you to get your head totally understanding that when you walk out of here, get out of the driveway, you still remember what I said, okay? Instead of, I don't know. Okay, this is what it is. Ready? What you live for is what you'll live with. Simply, what you sow, you'll reap. Okay? We're going to talk about what you sow in your life, what you live for in your life, is what you reap. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, would y'all? Galatians chapter 6. So when I said sowing and reaping, has anybody ever heard of that before in the Bible? Sowing and reaping. Okay, it's a God principle. It's actually a God law, the good kind. And you'll start in Genesis and it'll take you all the way through. Sowing and reaping. All right, sowing and reaping is this principle. Y'all at Galatians 6? Galatians 6, 7. Here we go. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Okay. So it's saying, God's not mocked. What? I hear people mocking God. You ever hear people, one of you little Christians, that God stuff? Anybody ever hear? You know, okay, I hear that. No. God. It says God is not mocked. Okay, God is not mocked. By the way, nobody can mock God. Nobody. You think you're going to put one over on God, but this says God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's the part. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So God's not mocked, baby. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. All right? And this is a good thing. Don't go, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So how many of you have gardens this year? Vegetable gardens. Okay, vegetables. All right. I did one tomato plant, and then I broke my wrist, and that thing just went kaput, okay? But my neighbors, they all have great things. And listen, I enjoy their harvest. The doorbell rings, and Charlotte and Charlene, my two neighbors, ring the, Sherry was there that one day, they have bags. And I'm like, oh, yay, the garden ladies are here. I enjoy their harvest. You all enjoy your harvest? Okay, you can bring your tomatoes in, okay? Now, listen, so that's what you're really saying. You like reaping a harvest, right? You like reaping what you sowed, right? So this concept of reaping and sowing, you get it? You like to reap what you sow. Okay, now, here's God. This is his principle. He created this. I wasn't smart enough. God created this all the way in Genesis. And he says, listen, I set up this earth for you so you can enjoy the earth. Enjoy, all right? I set up the earth so you can live in a harvest of what you are in life. All right, so God created this, sowing and reaping. All righty. Now, so again, what you live for is what you're going to live with. Live with. So let's get this figured out. How many of you, I love good things. I love to go shopping for shoes. That's about it. I don't really like to shop for anything else. I really like going shopping for food. Okay, I like good things on the earth, okay? Some of you like baseball. God bless you. Please don't invite me to the game. All right. Some of you like ice cream. Some of you like, and those are good things. Some of you like golf. Some of you like your family. Those are all good things. Those are good things, right? On the earth. Okay, but the problem is those good things in the world, on the earth, try to consume you. They try to consume me, not baseball. Okay, all right? They try to consume you. There's a lot of good things. I'm not talking about bad things, good things. There's good things on the earth that try to consume us, okay? And they try to pull you over. So if they're trying to pull me over, guess what? They're going to try to pull you over. There's good things that try to consume you and pull you over. And we need to know what they are so we can hit it, so we can run our race and win. Okay, so that's where we're going. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is our key scripture for the next 4 weeks. All right, key scripture the next 4 weeks, 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. In a race, everyone, raise your hand if you're an everyone. You are. In a race, everyone runs. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. So it's saying, now listen, this is talking to Christians. This is talking to people that have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. This is talking to believers. This is talking to followers. If that's you, this is talking to you. This is talking to Christians, every Christian. And it says every Christian has a race, right? Every Christian has a race that God has called you to. God's called me to a race. He's called yours. Yours is going to be unique to you. But every Christian is called to a race, all right? Every Christian is called to a race. So I think we have to make sure we know what our race is, what you're called in life, your race is, and because God wants you to win. Okay, did you get that last part? So run your race to win. So I want to know what my race is because I want to win. And years ago, I thought I wasn't this competitive person. It's like this thing came out. I started bowling with some couples here, and I'm terrible, but this competitive, you know what it was? The win! I had win in me. I wanted to win. I lost terribly, but I wanted to win. So I like those blow-up aisles, you know, what are they, bumper, just wonderful, and I still was bad, okay? But listen, we are to run our race to win. To win, okay? So how do we win our race? How do we win our race? Well, number one, your race is finished when you die. Your race is finished when you die, okay? You know, it's that person that goes through the stretch here, okay? You know, and they have the ribbon and all that stuff. So your race is when you die. It's when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Whoever remembers that Greek word from last week, you don't get a lollipop. Bema, right? You get, the only thing I said, I think it's Bema, that's how you pronounce it. But listen, we will all stand before, as believers, I'm talking believers, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ when we die, okay, and he's either going to say, hey, D, good job, you finished well, give me five, okay? Or he's going to say, man, you didn't do so good. You didn't do so good. Okay, I want to be the high five, don't you? All right? Now, let me back this up. I said it last week. I'm going to say it this week. I'm going to say it every single week. You don't get into heaven by good works. I'm not talking about that. It is by grace that you are saved, right? It's through the grace of God, through faith in what Jesus did for you. So, no, you don't get up there on the judgment seat because you did good works. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? But listen, it does say, if you do really good, if you do well, if you do good, Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, all right? And what he's talking about there, that script, well, another scripture is, there's a pile of rewards for you. There's a pile of treasures for you, all right? So I want to be up there, and he says, you did good, D. You ran your race well. There's a pile of rewards, all right? Now, that's going to be incredible. That's going to be cool. That's going to be awesome. But there's also going to be people up in heaven at different levels. Okay? At different levels. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Well, listen, the Bible says that the scripture said there are some that are here now on the earth that are first, that when they stand at the judgment seat, he said, they'll be last. So they're going to have different levels, first and last. All right. So what is the person that's first? Well, that could be somebody who's just got all this importantness going on in their life. They're just so important. It could be somebody that's really well to do. They've got every single toy in their garage and down the basement. Okay. All right. It could be somebody that has this prestige on the earth now. All right. So it says those that are first, or excuse me, it says many of those that are first here, now, their journey, their walk, their now, when they go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, blah, 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 blah. When they go on to be with heaven, they're going to be last. Okay? That doesn't sound too cool, does it? All right. Now, it also, Jesus also says, many that are last here, maybe they didn't have all this wealth. Maybe they didn't. They were just regular Joe Schmoes. Nobody even blinked at them. Okay? So maybe some of them that are here now are last. Jesus says, but when they get there, they're going to be first. But you know, really, really cool thing that excites me? You can be first now and you can be first there. It's all how you run your race. Okay? So, you know, that win competitive person, I want it here, I want it now, all right? You can be first here in the life that you live, the race that you run, the things that God's called you to do. You do that well here, first here. Guess what? You can be first there, okay? So, what does it mean? Let's read that scripture again, 1 Corinthians 9:24. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So, run your race to win. So what does it mean to run your race? Okay, those of you that were not able to be with us last week, we were talked about to run your race is to love and live for Jesus. To love, write that down, to love and to live for Jesus. So it's not complicated. It's not complicated, but that's what it is to run your race, to love the Lord Jesus and to live for the Lord Jesus, okay? So what is love? Well, first off, there's, you know, you talk to people, oh, do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. Okay. But listen, there's a shallow love and there's a deep love. There's different levels. Okay. There's this shallow love. It's only about this. And then there's deep love. Okay. Shallow love. Somebody receives Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you go, oh, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay. And then about a month goes by and they just have forgotten Jesus. Okay, they have just kind of walked away from him. Now, but if I go up to them and I say, oh, I see him again. Hey, do you love Jesus? You're going to go, oh, of course, I love Jesus. Okay, that's a shallow love. Okay? I have talked to people that have accepted Jesus, walked with Jesus, and then they've walked away for years. Walked away for years, and I'll see them out at the grocery store, because they used to come to YCF. Okay, and I go, hey, how you doing? And, you know, and I know, and they know, and I go, oh, you still love Jesus? Yes, Pastor, I love Jesus. But they've walked away from him. So that's a shallow love. Love Jesus. So I want to know what the deeper love is. Don't you want to know what the deeper love is? Yeah. Well, Jesus tells you what the deeper love. He says the deeper love is, and actually someone tossed this question at him, and he says, to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your emotion, with all. To love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, your will, your emotions, with all your strength. That's a deep love. Okay, that's a deep love. So, okay, what's that look like? Well, it's, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus said that was the first and most important commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Now, personally, to this day, I have to keep growing in deep love. I actually have to make constant adjustments to grow in that deep love. Okay? It's not one time, oh, I love Jesus. Okay? It's a continual adjustment here, all right? So I do love Jesus, okay, with that deep love. All righty? Now, when somebody you love more than anything else in the world, you're gonna want to hang out with them, right? If you love somebody more than anything else, you're going to make time for them, right? All right. So Jack and I were, when we were dating, he was working two shifts. I think he worked at Dent Supply. And then what was that gas station on 30 and Pennsylvania Avenue? It was either Hess's or one of those. And yeah, and they had a little booth in the middle. And you would go pay the guy in the booth. The guy was my guy. Okay, and he worked the Dent Supply, and then he'd eat something, and he'd go, and he'd work till I don't know what. And the problem was, I worked a totally different shift. I worked a normal shift. But listen, we loved one another, and we would make time. We would figure out where we could grab 45 minutes to be together. And do you know how many times I sat in that booth? No, you weren't allowed to sit in the booth with him. I just stand next to the booth. You know that Gaga eye. Okay, I love that guy. I was willing to make changes to spend time with him. Right? Anybody ever done that with your honeys? Do you remember when? Okay. Okay, guys, that is part of our race, to love Jesus. Okay. Now, the second part of our race is to love Jesus and to live for Jesus. To love Jesus and to live for Jesus. So what is this live for Jesus? Okay, well, this live for Jesus is, I love you, Jesus, so much that I want to help you expand your kingdom. I want to help you do what you want done on this earth. That's what live for Jesus is. Okay? So most people, a good percent of people, will live for Jesus by serving in church, okay? Serving in a church or serving in a para ministry, which could be like prison ministry, or our Harvest the Blessing ministries. They're not an in-church, they're an out-of-church, but they're a Christian ministry base, okay? So a majority of you all will do that, all right, in life. But, by the way, we have incredible volunteers here at YCF. We have awesome people that serve. And I always tell them, you come, I'm telling you. You know, we would not do what we do unless people volunteer and serve. And I always tell you, and Jack used to say this, he used to tick me off. And then I woke up and I got it. You don't come and serve me. You come and serve Jesus. And that's our race. That's our race, okay? And you need to find out what you do in your race and serve, okay? Now, I remember I had this, you know, personally, this, you, all of you that have children, you all know the code. If you have a kid, you serve in children's ministry, right? It's never written, but it's kind of, we know it. Yeah, we know that. Okay. So I had this one mom, she had three kids, and I gave her the, I never said anything. She goes, okay, Pastor D, I'll serve in children's ministry. And she was horrible. Terrible. No love oozing out of her, nothing. Now, but I will say, she was always prepared. She was always faithful, and she never complained. And after about 6 months, because we make our schedules up for 6 months, I looked at her. I said, this is not your race. She goes, oh. But, man, she was a whiz-bang on computers. I was like, bang, put you down here, okay? So, listen. So, we are all called to live for Jesus. You need to find out what your part, you know, what you do. And, by the way, I live to serve Jesus. I volunteer. Especially years ago, I volunteered for 10 years. I didn't get paid. I volunteered. Now here I get paid because I'm Pastor D, but I would volunteer outside of the Pastor D thing. In a middle school, I did a morning. It was like it's 7 a.m. at a middle school, a Bible club. And then at the afternoon, I did that for 10 years. I lived to serve there. I had a blast. I also, served, of course, you know, children's ministry here. And back then when I did children's ministry, I wasn't paid. I was one of you all. Yep. But as a matter of fact, I started in the nursery and worked my way up. Yeah, I see some of you, you started there too with me. Let me see. Do you know, I volunteered. I'm not tooting my horn, but I want you to get that this is everything you do is I live for Jesus. So I had a friend that was pastoring an inner city church, and they were doing a VBS. I volunteered at their summer VBS, which didn't have AC. That was painful. Because, you know, I freeze you out here, okay? Because I love to serve my Jesus. Now, at present, I don't yell at me. I love to serve communion fellowship up here. I mean, I get yelled at for hauling tables and flipping them and crock pots and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought about this. I just love Jesus. I love him and I love to live for him. And I just love to serve in any way I can. And I'm getting kicked out sometimes. Pastor D, put that down. Pastor D, don't touch that. Pastor D. I love to do it, all right? So part of our race is to volunteer, okay? Now, my race is everything that I do, guys. My race is everything I do. Not just the Pastor D part here. It's just these other things. And your race, it should be everything you do. Unto him. Okay? That's your race. Okay? And I don't even know what half of your races are. Some of you guys, I've seen it, but you know, your race. All right. So let's continue reading 1 Corinthians 9:25. We did 9:24. Let's jump down to 9:25. To win the contest or the race, right, you must deny yourself many things. Underline that. It did not say you deny yourself everything, chocolate, TV, I don't know, whatever. Okay, it didn't say everything. It just says you deny yourself some things. Okay, what's it talking about? I don't have enough time in the day to do everything. Everything, I don't. All right, I can't go and do everything because I want to make sure I have time with my Heavenly Father. That's all it's talking about, okay? So you can do a lot of things, but there's some things you're going to have to say, I can't do this. I don't have enough time. I want to be in the race. I want to spend time with the Lord, okay? Keep reading. It says, verse 25, that would keep you from doing your best. Okay, so you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. You must deny yourself, and I'm going to say things that would keep you from doing your best. Okay, everybody's in a race, okay? Have you ever seen somebody in the race and it's supposed to be a running race and they're doing the, okay? They're okay. That's okay. Okay, but the guy that's, okay, that's the best. And God wants you to run your race the best, okay? He wants to run your race the best. So you might have to deny yourself so you can run your race to best. Okay? And you know, the competitive me is I want to win. Okay? We want to win. All right. So that would keep you from doing your best. All right, keep reading. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. And then we've been talking about gold medals. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. We do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. That's incredible. We do it and it's forever. Never disappears. Our reward is forever. It's eternal. Our rewards, our treasures. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Okay. Now, all those guys that competed in the Olympics, they did it to win a medal, a gold medal. Okay. But the thing is, when they get to heaven, that's not what God's going to go high five. That medal. Okay. It doesn't count up in heaven. But there are things we do in our race that does, okay? So listen, how many of you want to win some things and rewards in heaven? I do. Now, they're not my works, so I can get to heaven, but I want to look at those eyes. I'm going to look at those eyes of Jesus. That's all I'm looking for, looking at those eyes. And he goes, D, good job. As I said, little jersey sometimes, but you did good with everything I gave you. That's what I'm living for that. I'm living to look at his eyes, okay? All right. 1 Corinthians 10. We talked a little bit about it last week. 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to give you the short version for verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 10, just write that down. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. But let me just tell you about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first part. It's talking about the children of Israel who came out of Egypt. Yay, finally. And it says, they all had walked through the sea. They all ate manna. They all had a cloud by night and a fire by day. They all drank from the rock. Okay. And then verse 5 says, but God wasn't pleased with many of them because... Okay, now we're going to pick up at verse 6, all right? So we got them, and in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, he lists four things that God was not pleased that they were doing, all right? He lists four things. And we want to make sure, because they didn't finish their race. They didn't get to go, a bunch of them didn't get to go into the promised land, right? So I want to finish my race. I think I want to know what these four things are. So I'm going to give you four things. Today we're only going to talk about one. So we're starting in verse 6. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. We're going to talk about one of the things that kept them from entering in. Because I want to learn from their mistakes. Don't you love parents that say that to their kids? Oh, my God. Okay, I won't go there. Okay, we want to learn from them. We don't have to go and fall in the ditch. We can learn from them. So that's why we're going to read this. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Talking about the children of Israel, okay? Now, verse 7, do not be idolaters. Write that down. Do not be idolaters. Some of them were, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drank and got up and indulged in revelry. Okay, do not be an idolater. What is idolatry? In the Old Testament, okay, in the Old Testament, it's worshiping an idol. Old Testament. Okay, then you hop over to the New Testament, okay? You hop over to the New Testament, and that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way down through Revelations. It talks a little bit different about what idolatry is, what is worshiping idols, okay? All right, and an idol worship is anything that you make more important than, right, anything that you put above of God. Anything, anyone, all right? What's when you give all your strength or you draw all your strength from something other than, right? That's idolatry. That's an idolatry, okay? Now, I'm pretty sure nobody has chiseled out a statue and put it on your front lawn and you're worshiping it, right? You should drive around when Halloween comes around here. Okay. But nobody, none of you all have carved out this statue that you bow down and you worship, because you would go, of course not. That's really idol worship. But anything that you give, all your strength, that you put above what God is, who God is for you, you are, that's idol worship. That's idolatry. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture to give you a picture. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. All right. Colossians 3, verse 5. I'm reading out of the NIV for this one, okay? But the guys pop it up for you. Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Yeah. And greed, which is idolatry. Now, that's really interesting. Actually, that's one of the first of many scriptures in the New Testament that says you don't have to bow down to a statue. And greed, which is idolatry. Okay, so what's greed? The love of money over God. Okay, you love money more than you love people. But that's not it. That's not all of it. That's it, but that's not all of it. It's anything you love and give all to and seek all the time to above God, you got idolatry going on. Okay? Oh, happy faces. Come on, happy faces. Oh, Pastor D, happy faces. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now, listen to what 1 John says. Look over at 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. While you're flipping there, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. You can love anything more than you love God, and that equals idolatry. You can love anything or anyone more. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. More than Jesus, and you have idolatry. So listen what 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 says. Dear children, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers, okay? Believers. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Get it together. Don't let anything take its place in your heart except for God. All right. D, keep away from anything that would take the place that God should have in your heart. All right. Now, if anything has first place in your heart, you got idol worship going on. All right. You could have your friends, your social bunch that you love more than you love God. You can love your job. It can be everything you look for, love for. Yeah, not that. Yeah, we're not going to not that one. Okay. But, you know, that could be your idol. All right. I've seen people. Listen, I had one heck of a day. I'm going to go home and eat the gallon of ice cream so I can feel good. Guess what you just did? I sought my comfort. It was good ice cream. Instead of, all right, now go seek there and then you can have a bowl of ice cream, all right? All right, okay. People do it with food. I'm telling you. Okay. So what does this do to us? What happens to idol worship in us? Things that you love more than God. Well, one, it's not going to keep you or toss you in hell. Okay. When you love things more, but when you love things more than God, it's not going to send you to hell, but you're not going to run your race. You're not running your race for God. All right. And therefore, no rewards, no treasures. So I want to make sure that this is always you. Okay, and then I can have a bowl of ice cream later, right? Okay, now, just like those Olympic athletes, guys, they had to give up some things. If you played a sport, especially high school, it is all consuming. You had to give up a bunch of things so you could play this sport. Okay, that's all. This is all this is about. You're going to have to make adjustments and not so much this thing or that person. You're going to have to make adjustments so you can keep running your race to win. It's real simple, real simple. Okay, personally, Sherry, just don't look at me. Okay, don't tell them the whole truth, not my truth. Okay, I can get consumed by some things. I can get consumed by some things. Okay, one of them, just going to fess up on one. One of them is the TV. Okay, I love Food Network. HGTV, flip or flop, okay? So I can get consumed. And I can go, oh, I'm going home. I've had a hard day. I'm going to turn on it. Okay. So I have to give up some. And I'll say, okay, I'm just going to do 1 hour. Okay. It's either the Pioneer Woman or Drivers, Dives, and Dive-Ins, whatever that one is. You know, what was that? What's that one? Diners, Drives, and Dive-Ins. I really like that. Okay, so I'm just going to do 1 hour, just 1 hour. But listen, I can get consumed, and next thing I know, 3 hours have gone by, and I'm starved, and I go up and eat because I've all been watching this food, okay? Listen, I have to, the world is out there, guys, and it will consume you. You have to say, what things are good and how much? And then I make some adjustments in my life because I want to run my race to win. All right. And, you know, listen, that might not have float your boat. You didn't get it. Yours could be that you like sports. It just consumes you. You could be an exercise person. OK, you could be. I have a friend and they love to watch the news. I'm like, really? And, you know, you only need to watch one channel and you got the news. But he loves to watch all the different channels. And so he makes sure he's got the full picture. And he says, next thing I know, I've watched 3 hours of the news. Okay, so that, whatever that is. But whatever that is in your life, it's an idol. All right, so we got to watch it, that it doesn't consume us, because we want to win the race. Amen? I want to win the race. Okay, so I want to close up with spiritual routines and spiritual exercises. Write that down. And listen, I was like, oh God, are you kidding me? This is so simple. I don't want to teach on this. I love arguing with God. And he says, there was a time this was not simple. This was hard. And you need to just go over it again. So we're going to go over some of you are like, Pastor D. Okay. Pastor D, I'm obeying God. Here we go. Spiritual routine, spiritual exercises. Guess what? We get to go to God's gym, not Gold's gym, God's gym. All right? Today you get to go to God's gym. Tomorrow you get to go to God's gym. And you can do spiritual exercise and you can have a spiritual routine so that you can get your goal. Okay, here's mine. And this one of them for sure is yours. The first spiritual thing that you do at the gym is you read your Bible. Oh, Pastor D. No. Now, this is not Pastor D. This is D, the Christian. D, just plain old D, ditch the pastor. I get up every day to go to God's gym. And I don't even brush my teeth or shower to go to the gym. Why brush your teeth if you're going to shower to go to the gym, right? Right? So I go and I make my coffee and I sit down and I open up my Bible and I'm in the gym. And I start my routine every day. I read my Bible. And some days I get to read for an hour. Most of the time it's like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. One day I overslept and I'm going, I'm still going to go to the gym. And I sat down for 5 minutes. Okay, every day I get up and I do my routine. That's how I exercise. Okay, now the only day that I don't sit down and read for D is Sunday. I'm reading for you all. Okay, but I don't miss it. All right, it's so important to me. And I've got this little program that I kind of do, and every couple years I change it up. I remember where I started, just read through the whole Bible in the year. Anybody ever do that? Read through the Bible the whole year? That's your routine. Okay, then I've got some devotionals. Okay, and we've got some really good ones. I want to advertise. Kathy's not here. Derek Prince puts out a 31-day devotional, especially if this is something you're not in the routine yet. These are good. Go get a devotional and get in there. And they have one for a day. They have a scripture. They expound on it. Some of them give you what you say and stuff. So these are really good. All right. I've been through Rick Renner's I've got a Kenneth Copeland read one, and I forget, you know, I just do whatever, all right? Sometimes I'm reading X amount of chapters, but every day I get up and I make sure that I do my routine, okay? Because I'm going to finish my race and I don't want to not win my race, all righty? Now, the other thing that I do is I listen. I listen. I listen to other ministers, preachers. Yep. I go to church at other places online. I got about five of them. I'm not going to tell you who they are. Go, you know, okay? So, but why? Because as they're teaching, I'm getting more word in me. More word in me. More word. And I just want to get more and more and more. So, number one, of our go to the gym and our routine and our exercises, we get the word in us, okay? And number two, listen. Listen to other people. Now, the first should be the first. The listen is what I do later on, okay? But the first thing is you've got to get this word, the Bible, into you, all righty? Now, really interesting, I have this, oh, actually I have three people that I know, they're addicted to exercise. Obviously, it's not me, okay? I'm not one of those, but this one particular person is addicted to running. And I'll never forget the first time I was up at the gym that I occasionally go to, and I saw this person. They were about this big. I mean, this big. And they're doing their, and I'm like, man, they don't even look healthy. Well, I found out they're a runner. They run, and they run, and they run, and they run. They're actually addicted. I'm not looking over there, Miss Patty. Okay, they run, they run. They're addicted to running. Okay, that's their exercise. They just run, they run. Now, the interesting thing about all of them, when they started, very first time they started, it was a pain. Ugh. Okay, they were grumbling. I quit. I'm never doing this again. All right? But listen, they kept doing it, kept doing it, and now they're addicted to it. And actually, what is that? What does your brain start popping out? Chemical? Endorphins? You do it, baby. You do it. This endorphins start popping. Psh, psh. And what it does is it releases this chemical, and all of a sudden you don't really realize the pain you're in. It actually, they call it a runner's high. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But they had to start their routine. They had to just do it to do it to do it. And now they're addicted. They're addicted. It's not on my addiction list, guys, okay? But listen, that is how the Bible is to me. I can't wait to get up in the morning and sit down and just get into God's Word and have Him fill me and talk to me and transform me. I can't wait. I'm addicted. So, was it 2 weeks ago? I was out in San Francisco at Joy's house, and they have a one-bedroom apartment, so I have the pull-out sofa, and they're in this room here, and I was so addicted, I didn't care. I turned my cell phone on the light because I didn't want to wake them up. I got up early, and I'm reading my Bible because I'm addicted. I'm like, I got to go to the gym this morning. I got to, because I want to feel good, those endorphins. And I'm reading the Word and having a great time. And then Eric wakes up, and he goes, oh, you're having your time. I was like, good boy, good boy. He's seeing it. He's seeing it, okay? So listen, I can't wait. And when I am sitting down and I'm in the Bible, And I spend a majority of my time in the New Testament. I'll go for studying a lot of times in the Old Testament, but the majority of just D, you know, God takes me on trails, is as I'm in the New Testament. And what happens is incredible things happen. Actually, supernatural things happen to you. Well, nothing ever happens to me. Yes, get out your Bible, sit there, and supernatural things happen because the Word is alive. So that means you got life going through you. You got the power of God going through you then. You got the strength of God going through you. You'll get peace going through you. You get joy going through you. All because you got addicted to the Word of God. All right. Now listen, when I don't, I'm not a nice person. Say amen, Mom. Okay, yeah. I just am, you know, so for the sake of myself, for sake of everybody else, I can't help it. I love it. I love it, okay? So it'll change you. It'll change you. Now, in the beginning, I got to tell you, in the beginning, I don't even remember when the beginning was, but in the beginning, I would go, man, I don't know if I should do this today. I don't know. And then I would just make myself. I'd make myself sit down and read the Bible. And then I realized, I'm changing. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, that's my testimony. I want you to hear what Jesus says. Everybody know the sower, the parable of the sower sows the word? Okay, turn over to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at it because that was me telling you what being addicted to God's word is. I want you to look at what Jesus says about this word, about this Bible, about his word. Okay, Mark chapter 4, we're going to talk about four different types of Christians. This is talking about Christians, okay? This is talking about Christians. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're going to be one of the four. You're going to be one of those four. Today, we're not going to talk about one and two. We're going to talk about the third and the fourth Christian, okay? We're going to talk about the third and the fourth. So everybody over at Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, we're going to start talking about the third person, the third one. Now, this third person is someone who gets into idolatry. You know, someone actually who gets consumed by the world. We're going to talk about the person who gets consumed by the world. And we talked about if you're consumed and it's more than who God is, you've got idolatry going on. So the third person, here we go. The thorny ground represents the hearts of people, Christians, who listen to the good news, who listen to the Bible and receive it. Now, that's really interesting. I could preach on that one. But, okay, so they listen and they receive it. But, verse 19, but all too quickly, the attractions of this world, the delights of wealth, the searching for success, and the lure of nice things, good things, come in and they crowd out God's message, his word, from their heart. All right. Now, this next part is the saddest thing. Okay, so that no crop is produced. That's sad. All right, so you've got a Christian. They have some time where they're hearing or reading and they receive the word. But it says, but all too quickly, the attractions of the world, the delights of wealth, the search for success, and the lure of nice things come in and crowd out God's word from their hearts. Okay, the Bible is supposed to be planted inside of you. It's spending time and it will produce. It will produce a harvest, just like those bumper crop of tomatoes that everybody's got. The Bible will produce a crop, all right, a harvest, okay? Now, these poor Christians must have messed up, okay? They must not have allowed the Word of God to stay, to get packed in there, and to produce life, to produce fruit, all right? They must not have, because it says, so that no crop is produced, okay? And I really feel bad when you can't have a crop, when you're not producing, when you don't have a bumper crop of tomatoes. I feel bad for you, all right? I feel bad for these Christians. So, but did you notice what happened to them? The world lured them away. The world. Okay, the world is, you know, there's good stuff out in the world, okay? Everybody think, well, and there's some really bad stuff. But the bad stuff, for the most part, isn't going to lure you away. It's those good things of the world. They lured them away, and they didn't make adjustments when they started happening. They just got sucked in, all right? So the world lured them away. And by the way, you just don't wake up one minute, and then you're downstream. It's this little thing, lured, okay? And they didn't make adjustments until they got so far into the world that now they need help. And we do help. We help people. God helps people. We help people, okay? Now, if you're here and you go, oh, Pastor D, you just read my mail. Well, I'm believing God that today you're going to change and get adjusted and get where you're supposed to be. This is no condemnation, Okay? No condemnation. I've been halfway down the stream where I should have been upstream. Okay? Now, so these people didn't feed on the word, and they didn't feed on the word, so they didn't allow the word that was created to do things in their life. They didn't feed on the word, so the word couldn't do what it's supposed to do in your life. It makes life. All right? The word in your life, where you meditate on it, you read it, you start doing it, will produce harvest, great things in your life. Okay? Now, gosh, when did we start this church? 1984? Well, it's just yesterday. I was a little kid. Okay. It's been about 30 years. And for 30 years, I've watched believers, Christians, men and women of God, grow in God. Just get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, grow. I've watched them. And then, you know what's really sad? I watched those that were living and loving stop. Stop living and loving God. Stop living and loving God. Stop hanging out with believers. You know, we're goofy. We're peculiar, right? But You're my family. You're the believers. And when I have asked Jesus into my life, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, the family. So I'll hang out. Okay, but they stopped hanging out with God, hanging out with believers, hanging out in church. And next thing you know, they're downstream. Okay, that's sad. And I've watched that. Just terrible. I've watched it too many times. I've watched people that have gone to Bible school. Play on the band, you know, woo! And then the world just lured them where they stopped, okay? So my prayer is, God, just open their hearts again, open their eyes, that they would see your love and come back and hunger for you, because you're always standing there to bring them and just, you know, they're the one that moved. God's still there. Okay. So, and you know what's so sad about that is someday they're going to die and go meet Jesus, stand before the judgment seat, and there's not going to be rewards for them. That's sad. I want every one of you to have this pile. Piles, okay? That's my desire. That's my desire as pastor, but that's my desire as a friend of yours. All right? That's why we come along and we run races with people. We pick them up and go, come on, babies. Okay. Okay, I want to read the verse 20, okay? And then I think we're about done. Verse 20, Mark 4, verse 20. But the good soil, that's a Christian who doesn't get consumed with the world, the good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accepted God's message, and produced a plentiful harvest for God. 30, 60, 100, I like the 100, okay, times as much was planted in their hearts. Guys, the Bible is supposed to grow and consume you. The word of God is supposed to grow and consume you so that it changes you. It changes you. I have tried to change people. Anybody try to change your spouse? Oh, yeah. The word of God changes them better, okay? Pray for them and, you know, get them in the word. Okay. Okay. Just, so listen, it'll change you. You have to feed on it so it can produce life in you. And just like those athletes, that competed at the Olympics, they had to go to the gym. They had to exercise. They had routines so they could win. It's really simple, isn't it? All right. So listen, I want everyone, just close your eyes for a second. Don't fall asleep. Bow your heads. Okay. Open your eyes 1 second. I love telling people, okay, let's close your eyes and bow our heads. And I got people that just look right at me. I'm like, close your eyes. Bow your head. This is children's ministry. I'm sorry. I know. I was like, don't look at me. All right. Close your eyes. Bow your head. No, really, there's this time. I want you to think about God. Okay. Don't think about this shirt I'm wearing that's all over. Okay. All right. Guys, all of us are at different places in our walk with God. Every one of you, you might have started yesterday. You might have started your walk with God 10 years ago, 30 years ago. All of us are at different places. Some of you, you got this spiritual routine down. Matter of fact, you probably do your spiritual routine better than I do. And I'm so proud of you, okay? And I'm going to try to get and do as good as you do on my spiritual routine. Okay, some of you, you got spiritual routine down, all right? And I just want to say, keep doing it. Keep doing it, all right? Others of you, you might be sitting here and you say, man, I used to do that spiritual routine and I stopped. I just stopped. I don't even know where my Bible is. That's okay. Today you just pick it up, right? And just start. Start up again. That's it. Start up again. Other views, you might have said, man, Pastor D, I didn't know that. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to do it regularly, okay? So what I want you right now, while your eyes are closed, your head bowed, I want you to have a God moment where God talks to you, not me. I'm going to be quiet pretty soon. Okay, I want you to just say, God, you know, just ask him, you know, God, what's God talking to you about your spiritual routines, your exercises? Just, and you know, some of you might have to say, okay, God, you know, I'm going to do it better. I'm making a commitment. I'm going to run the race and I'm going to start spending more time with you. I don't know what it is, whatever God's just dealing with you, just have this conversation, you know, with him. And I'm just going to be quiet for 30 seconds. And you just say, you know, talk with the Lord. He's here for you. Have a God time. I'm just going to pray for everybody. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you love us so much that you have deposited word into our hearts today. And I'm believing, Father, that it stays rooted and they have eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, that as you've spoken, there's been adjustments, Father. I thank you for that. And I thank you and I pray that you would show us your love bigger so that we may love you bigger. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hey, with eyes still closed.